morning. I'm Chari Chaitanya Das presenting Hare Krishna morning program. Studio clock, it's a minute past 8 o'clock. As per Western calendar and Vaishnava calendar, today is 23rd September 2006, Saturday, Pratipati Tithi, Gaura Paksha, Shukla Yoga, Uttara Phalguni Nakshatra. Let us begin this wonderful morning with Krishna consciousness. Modern civilization is to invade upon others' property, thereby create an unnecessary disturbance of the laws of the nature. These laws are very strong. No living entity can violate them. Only one who is Krishna conscious can easily overcome the stringency of the laws of nature and thus become happy and peaceful in the world. Therefore, if we want peace on earth, we have to change our consciousness into Krishna consciousness, both individually and collectively, by the simple process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is a standard and recognized process for achieving peace in the world. We therefore recommend and requesting everyone who are listening this radio program, please simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, along with the devotees. It will cost not even a cent. However, benefit is unlimited. Hare Krishna. Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of Canto 1, Chapter 2, verse number 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayashu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtake, that by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. The effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Sharing this compassion of Srila Prabhupada, we wish you all the spiritual happiness. We hope that we can serve you nicely. Please listen regularly. That will help us to water the bhakti kripa and ensure that it grows nicely. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. Today's topic is Failure as a Stepping Stone to Success, recorded at Mumbai, India. This morning, we'll continue Bhagavad Gita drama, chapter 12. Definitely, we'll hear some devotional songs. Hope you all enjoy this program, which is an essence of bliss of Krishna consciousness. Reminding you again, we have all well-organized website, have enough material to engage ourselves, and you can listen this radio program as well in our website. Our address is www.iskcon.net.au.
I'd like to thank you from my heart for coming to attend this auspicious festival. Time is so precious. Every moment is more valuable than all the wealth that we can possibly achieve in this world. If you lose wealth, you can get it back. But if you lose time, it's gone. Every moment of this human form of life is so very, very valuable. Our success in life is how, moment after moment, we make decisions that are for our real welfare. Tonight we have been asked to speak on the subject of failure as a stepping stone to success. I'd like to begin by explaining a small incident that took place in 1969. In London, England, they were planning to have the first Rath Yatra on the European continent. They had already had Rath Yatra in San Francisco, California. But the six devotees that came to London were very enthusiastic to perform this Rath Yatra in London. They got a main street in downtown London for the parade. Shyam Sundar Prabhu wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada before the Rath Yatra explaining what type of promotion and propaganda they were making to attract people to come. They were expecting tens of thousands. There were posters, articles and papers, invitations, grand scale. When the Rath Yatra was just beginning, the wheel broke and the chariot collapsed. It was a disaster. There was nothing they could do to fix it. They more or less had to cancel. So Gurudas Prabhu, who was one of the leading managers of that project, wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He was very despondent. He really felt that he had disappointed his guru. What to speak of disappointed tens and thousands of people who came for the parade? Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter back. In that letter, he first explained that from the engineering point of view, you must have had too much weight on the chariot without the capacity of the wheel to hold it. Therefore, the wheel broke. So we much learned a lesson. We have to engineer whatever we do in Krishna consciousness very carefully and very thoroughly. But beside that, Srila Prabhupada said, do not be discouraged. Do not be disappointed. Maybe Krishna has a higher reason that we cannot see for why this happened. Just be patient, be enthusiastic, and have your next Rath Yatra next month. Do it again with all enthusiasm, but make the cart right. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, it is a material principle that failure is the pillar of success. And this same principle can be applied to our spiritual lives in our service to the Supreme Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada explains that Jagannath, who is sitting on the cart, is none different than Krishna. If we are sincere, if we're never discouraged by the dualities of happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success, failure, Krishna will accept our sincerity, and that is our real success. Srila Prabhupada wrote in this letter that it is a material principle that failure is the pillar of success, but it can also be applied to our spiritual lives. One very famous orator has said that success is going from failure to failure to failure without losing one's enthusiasm. We never really fail until we give up trying. Trying with determination and with enthusiasm. Vision, real vision, is to see the invisible, to feel the intangible, and to achieve the impossible. Actually, challenges or failures can be stepping stones or stumbling blocks on the road to success. It is all a matter of how we look at it. You can see a glass as half empty, or you could see a glass as half full. One will bring you enthusiasm, one will bring you discouragement. We can apply that principle to every aspect of our life. What is of real importance is that we know we're doing the right thing. We learn from our mistakes. A mistake is only a mistake if we fail to learn from it. Real leaders make many, many mistakes, but they do not repeat them. They learn from them. They remain enthusiastic. They remain determined toward their goal. Actual champions in every situation, they are always focused on their goal. They make goals. And losers make excuses. Our life is what we make of it. Failure is a very minor stumbling block on the road to success. Srila Prabhupada explained to Gurudas, learn from your failure and you'll be better equipped to serve. In fact, do you know that a couple months later they had a more glorious Rath Yatra? And from that day on, in the next 30 years, all over the world, there has never been a Rath Yatra cart that has broken on the road. They learned the lesson and taught the lesson to the whole world. Failures build character. Pressure is something that only comes to one who earns it. We should respect pressure as an honor. We cannot be successful unless we have the courage to fail. In every failure contains the seed of success. To be successful in any venture of life is very difficult. To fail is very easy. It is very difficult to roll a stone to the top of a mountain. It's very easy to push it down. When we learn from our mistakes, when we learn from our failures, we become stronger. We have greater integrity. Thomas Edison, he tried 8,000 various experiments before he finally invented the battery. And when he was asked about it, his quote was, he wasn't discouraged by all those 8,000 failures. He said, at least I learned what doesn't work. That is success. Now in Bombay, we are undergoing the monsoon rains. It's very inconvenient. Most people just do not like when it's raining. And that's a universal principle all over the world. Raining is an austerity. You practically cannot do anything outside. Yes, children cannot do their sports. Adults cannot have open parties or whatever else they do. To get from one place to another, very difficult. However, the rain nourishes the earth, provides grains, fruits, vegetables, flowers. Without rain, there is no life. When difficult obstacles, pressures, and even failures come into our life, we should always be seeing, seeing the invisible, feeling the intangible, so that we can achieve the impossible. We may not understand exactly why, but if we have faith, if we have hope, we can always be looking at that flower that will grow from this rainstorm. That is the substance of a successful man. Opportunity knocks. Most people complain about the noise. We should see an opportunity in every situation. We never really lose until we stop trying. It is said that in darkness, a star shines brightest. According to the Panchatantra, there are three types of persons in performing their duties. The one they call Kanishta, a person who does not begin an endeavor, fearful that he may fail. The second person is one who endeavors but turns back when obstacles and failure comes on his path. That is Madhyam. And Uttam, the first class man, is the person who keeps his mind fixed on the goal and does not turn back till he achieves it. Srila Prabhupada explained that it is a material principle that failure is the pillar to success, but it can be applied to spiritual life. With your permission, I would like to give just a few examples. In the secular society, of how this principle applies. Do I have your permission? There was a man. He had low grades when he was a child. His father said he was dull and he would never make a living. He wanted to attend Standhurst University. He failed the admission exam 2 times. He also had a very severe lisp, a speech impediment. And it took him years and years of work to overcome it. This man's name was Winston Churchill. He became the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom in the days when the sun never set in the British Empire. And in the secular world, he is considered one of the most famous orators of the 20th century. There was a musical group. They auditioned and presented their music to Columbia Records and were rejected. To Decca Records, rejected. To Pay Records, rejected. To Philips Records, rejected. To His Master's Voice, rejected. This was in 1962. The name of that musical band was the Beatles, the most famous musical band in the history of the Western world. Practically any record they made went number one in the charts. There was a man who wanted to be a singer. In his high school, he got C in music class, and his music teacher said, "You cannot sing, give up the idea." His name was Elvis Presley. He was the king of rock, and he's still considered the king of rock. There was a man who ran for president in his freshman year in college. He lost. The next year, what to speak of president, he wasn't even voted onto the student council because people just didn't think he was an adequate administrator. His name was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, one of the prominent presidents of the United States of America. Henry Ford went bankrupt 3 times in the first 3 years he entered into the automobile industry. There was a man, when he was in high school, with all his might he played, couldn't make the high school basketball team. His name, Michael Jordan. ESPN named him the greatest athlete of the 20th century. There was a man named Fred Smith who was going to college. In his project, he presented an idea for a business. He got grade C, which means average. It's not impressive. That same man, on the same principles, actually, just by activating that project that he failed with, he founded the Federal Express Company. There was a lady. She wanted to be an actress. She worked for 20th Century Fox. After 1 year, she was dropped because the production chief said she was unattractive. Her name, Marilyn Monroe, who became the beauty goddess of Hollywood even to this day. Albert Einstein was not able to speak. He was not able to actually talk till he was 9 years old. Thomas Edison, he tried 1,320 times before he finally got his invention of the light bulb to work. And as I said before, 8,000 attempts before he got the battery to work. He never gave up. He kept his goal in mind. In my own life, my father, when I was 10 years old, he went into total bankruptcy. He had nothing. He lost everything. He made a wrong decision. He struggled and toiled just to keep his family from being in poverty. Today, he's a millionaire. And I remember when he was going through that crisis, every day I'd hear him singing loudly in the shower. When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. According to the three modes of material nature, Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter describes that people who perform their work disregarding spiritual injunctions and who perform work that causes violence and pain to others, that is work in the mode of ignorance. Those who endeavor very hard for selfish reasons, with false ego that I am the enjoyer, they are in the mode of passion. Most of the people we're talking about in the mode of passion, but they never gave up. They didn't care what anyone said about them. They didn't care how many times they fell on their face. They were willing to get back up and keep trying. That is the substance of a success. Those are in the mode of goodness. They work, they endeavor without false ego, free of dualities, without being discouraged or over-elated by either success or failure. There are many examples in the Holy Scriptures of great souls who have overcome all obstacles to fulfill their mission. Krishna explains, Neha Bikramanasosti Pratyavayo Nividyate Swalpam Apyasya Dharamasya Tayate Mahatobhaya. A spiritual principle that any advancement on the path of devotion is never lost.
Hare Krishna, you're listening to Hare Krishna Morning Program. Failure as a stepping stone of success. Friends, we all failure in this material life sometime, but we are all spirit soul who never fail. In spiritual world also it is there, but that is only satisfying Krishna. Let us listen what Radharani is complaining about.
Thank you. directly to the suburbs. Your station, your voice, 88.9 Win FM.
Hare Krishna. You're listening Hare Krishna Morning Program. Every Saturday, 8 till 9 a.m., I present this program on behalf of Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. Or any other queries, you can call me on 0412-696-559. Friends, is a small topic about why should we take a spiritual life in the young age. It's lecture by Devamrita Swami and written in a text form, His Grace Kripa Maya Prabhu. Why should we take the spiritual life in the young age? This session is meant for the youth, not youth in age, but youth at heart. We can die at any time. There is no rule that one will die only at ripe old age. Chanakya Pandit says, if you want to be strong in spiritual life, you should think that you are going to die next moment. And if you want to be successful materially, you should think you will never die. Otherwise, you cannot survive. If you want the goal to be an illusion, your initial assumption should also be an illusion. The senses, mind, intelligence, and are all very strong and easier to learn anything new. It's very difficult to learn anything new in the old age, isn't it? You cannot teach old dog a new tricks. Anything valuable should be offered fresh. Sometimes people think that when young one should enjoy sense gratification and when one is old and is invalid, one can offer himself to Krishna. If you want to offer a rose as a gift to some dear to you, you don't offer it when it is stale or dry. You offer it when it is fragrant and fresh. Similarly, one should offer one's service to the Lord when fresh and young. At a young age, we can make faster progress, either materially or spiritually. At a young age, one can learn the spiritual process quickly and practice them for perfection easily. One cannot do the same at older age. Youth is an age of high energy. We feel highly energetic and are ready to do anything. And if this high energy is not properly channelized, we can create havoc to our lifestyle. Life is a preparation and death is an examination. For example, if we as a student don't study and the night before the examination, we ask our friends what are the syllabus for the exam, etc. Rarely can we get through the examination. Similarly, if we don't prepare for the exam called death, we will be bewildered and we should not wait till the point of old age or death. When we are young, we can train easily. Training at an early age is very easy. As the mind is flexible, it's easy to train. Old people have already garbage filled in their brain and it is very difficult to train the process. The responsibility of youngsters is less. When we are young, the only obligation is education. As we are older, responsibilities of family life, work, etc. are more and more. It does not get enough time to learn spiritual life. Youth is the time to make habits. During the youthfulness, we make many habits based on our friend circle. Every activity that we do makes an impression in our consciousness. If once you drink alcohol, that makes an impression and we will be forced to accept this later. This is is saying, if we do anything 21 days consecutively, that become a habit. Unless we make the right habits, it is difficult to remove them. Bad habits die hard. In childhood, consciousness is a blank slate. You can write anything in it. As we grow older, the consciousness is filled with filth. In childhood, it is easier to be simple, and learning Krishna consciousness is very easy. At younger age, we accept someone superior to us naturally. At older age, it is difficult to accept someone superior to us. If today's youth are not trained, when they grow up, they create the next generation. Definitely, the new generation will not be trained. Sometimes we find that parents come to the temple and inform us that their children speak lies, steals, etc. But the parents themselves don't want to change, and they accept the children to be pure. According to Sri Prahlad Maharaj and Shastra, spiritual life should be started at Balya. In fact, Sri Prahlad started his consciousness, Krishna consciousness, in the womb of his mother. Sometimes so-called elderly people say that young age is for sense enjoyment. Then when one is old, they will have natural renunciation that will last long. By doing sense gratification and facing the pain, there is no renunciation. Example, many mothers complain that the labor pain is severe, that they will never want another child. But again, after some time, something happens. Chanakya Pandit is explaining, one should fondle his son up to the point of 5 years old. Thereafter, one should administer punishment for the next 10 years. But when one's son reaches the age of 16, one should act as a friend towards him. One extra point, why should one wait till the old age to experience the bliss of Sankirtan, association of devotees and prasadam? Do it now. Looking at the studio clock, we got little time, and then we'll hear the Bhagavad Gita. So in between, we'll listen a devotional song.
Shamo Sundara Giridhara. सकल लीला विलासी अंतर मंदिर प्रीति कुल सजाय लीला सकल लीला विलासी आखिर प्रदीप जाली सियारे जागिया रब आखिर प्रदीप जाली सियारे जागिया
Hare Krishna. Now the time for Bhagavad Gita chapter 12.
You are about to hear the most important conversation that has ever taken place. It is a timeless conversation between the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and his devotee, Arjuna. Arjuna is a constant companion of Krishna, who perpetually travels with the Lord throughout the material world, playing a key role in an endless drama. That drama is for our sake, yours and mine. In it, Arjuna plays a warrior whose duty is to fight a battle to establish righteousness in the world. Just before the battle begins, Arjuna surveys the opposing troops and seeing many of his own relatives and friends within their ranks, he becomes bewildered. Krishna, who is playing the role of Arjuna's chariot driver, convinces him to do his duty by revealing to him all the truths of the universe. Truths about the soul, karma, rebirth, liberation, and devotion. Since we're all faced with life's dilemmas and have our own battle to fight, Krishna's words are pertinent to us all. This drama is performed again and again, not only on this earth, but on other planets and other universes as well. In each performance, there are slight variations in the dialogue, but the theme remains unchanged. Listen now as the troops prepare for battle on the plains of Kurukshetra. Chapter 12, Devotional Service. Krishna, I realize that I am more attached to your two-armed form. I now want to confirm that the path of bhakti is the best path. Therefore, who are considered better, those who worship the impersonal Brahman or devotees who worship you? My dear Arjuna, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always worshipping me with great faith are the most perfect. These devotees are the best because bhakti is the quickest process for attaining me. But those who worship the all-pervading, impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth by controlling the senses and being equal to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. Why are they inferior, Krishna, if they will also achieve you? Because those who are attached to my impersonal feature have to experience more difficulty, Arjuna. It also takes them a longer time to obtain their goal. However, whatever one may obtain by karma and gyan is easily and quickly obtained by my devotees. My unalloyed bhaktas do not even think of crossing this material world. Therefore, I personally uplift them without their desiring it. They make no endeavor to elevate themselves other than devotional service to my lotus feet. Those unalloyed devotees renounce all activities that are obstacles to my devotion. They only hear about and remember me and engage in pure devotional service. In this mood, they meditate on my pastimes, their minds fully engaged in me. I quickly uplift such devotees from the ocean of birth and death, for I cannot tolerate delay. I come on Garuda and personally pick them up and take them away. Other yogis take the path of light or darkness, but I do not care for this process for my pure devotees. Bhakti does not depend on prescribed duties or anything else. Devotees attain me by nothing more than devotion and chanting. Then why should I fight, Krishna? Because your fighting is devotional service, Arjuna. How many times must I tell you? Just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. Not like the Mishra Bhaktas who gradually come to me. They only see my Aishwarya feature. Krishna, it's difficult to fix the mind and intelligence on you. What will be the result if I cannot do it? If you are not able to directly remember me without deviation, Arjuna, then bring your mind back again and again. Fix it on my form. Practicing like this is called Abhyas Yoga or Sadhana Bhakti. The mind is like a river which flows to filthy areas, but control it with dams. Bring it to the ocean of my form and swim in this ocean of rasa. You are called Dhananjaya because you fought with enemies and obtained wealth. Now, fight with the enemy of your mind and obtain the wealth of meditation. My mind flickers like the wind, Krishna. I don't have the strength to control it. What should I do? If you cannot perform Abhyas Yoga, Arjuna, and your mind is influenced by ignorance, then you need to work for me. What type of work, Krishna? Build temples, Arjuna. Make gardens. Clean my temple. Hear and chant. Pick flowers or perform puja. All these services are directly related with devotion. By performing these activities for my sake, your mind will become attached to my form and glories. Even if you cannot remember me while working, you will still attain prema. However, if you think you are a famous aristocrat and you cannot perform menial service for me, then you can perform yoga and renounce the fruits of whatever activities you perform and give them to me. Still, if you cannot do this, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action, because that will bring peace of mind. Krishna, what are the qualities of one who has obtained that peace through devotional service? One is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living beings. There is no sense of proprietorship or false ego in such a person, Arjuna. One is equal in both happiness and distress, tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination. Such a devotee is very dear to me. he has these good qualities because his mind is surrendered to me. That devotee is not disturbed by anyone and never puts others into difficulty. He is equipoised in happiness, distress, in fear or anxiety. My devotee is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities. Who is pure, expert in philosophy, who does not take sides and does not feel disturbed even when disrespected by others, is very dear to me. One who does not become elated if he gets a son or a disciple, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, who is always silent and satisfied with anything, who is not attached to his residence, who is fixed in knowledge and engaged in devotional service, is very dear to me. These qualities are born from devotion, not from the mode of goodness. If someone has even one of these qualities, he is dear to me. Beginners who are aspiring for these qualities are better than the perfected ones on other paths. Devotees who follow sadhana are dear to me, but those who have these qualities are very dear to me. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me.
Hare Krishna. Looking at the studio clock, it's 9 o'clock. Allow me to end today's program with this beautiful prayer or the bhajan. Find your place in Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. Don't hesitate to call me for any queries today's program. My contact number 0412-696-559. Wishing you and your families very good weekend with spiritual progress. May Lord Krishna bless us all and gives us appropriate guidance to give, find tranquility and peace in our life. Looking forward to have your association again Saturday morning 8 o'clock. Until then, Hare Krishna.
This is your station, your voice, Win FM Community Radio, broadcasting on a frequency of 88.9 megahertz on the FM dial. We operate using a community broadcast license, and our studios are located on the Werribee campus of the Victoria University. Our information and request phone line is 9216 8089.